You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are recording at the LCMS Youth Gathering in New Orleans. And it is exciting. We are in the convention center. This is, what day is it? Sunday morning.
It is Sunday.
As the convention center is starting to fill up. People are starting to come in. The convention center doors will be opening any minute now. And
so it might get loud during this interview.
This is true. It might get real noisy during this interview as folks are gathering in the LCMS Youth Gathering in the Convention Center in New Orleans.
Yes, it's very exciting.
It's also the time that this airs is Friday, which means it is a set apart to serve conversation.
Yes, it is.
We're also talking about worker wellness today.
All the good
while
things.
While we're at the youth gathering.
This is so much fun.
What a great conversation. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University St. Paul. You can learn more about Concordia University St. Paul by visiting csp.edu. Joining us today, Dr. Deaconess Tiffany Mader. She's the Managing Director for LCMS Office of National Mission. Welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Always good to be with you.
And we're in New Orleans this time, too. The Reverend Dr. James Bonnick, Executive Director of Pastoral Education and Set Apart to Serve. Dr. Bonnick, welcome back.
Yep, great to be with you. Thanks.
We're usually having conversations in the studio. This time we're in a different studio. We're on the stage at the LCMS Youth Gathering in the center of the exhibit hall. This is kind of a different space for us.
Fun. A little distracting because there's so many great people walking around and
people watching us.
Things. Yeah. But I love it. I mean, New Orleans is a vibrant city, right? So we're getting a taste of it even here in the convention center.
That's true.
My boss is watching me.
Yes. He is. Very closely.
He's staring at us right now.
Very closely. Arms crossed and everything. Better do well.
And I don't think we've had a chance to have both of you in a conversation together on the Coffee Hour. We've talked about worker wellness, we've talked about Set Apart to Serve, but having this conversation together I think is important. And the Youth Gathering is a great place to have that conversation because we're looking at future church workers right here at the LCMS Youth Gathering. So what is the role of the layperson when it comes to congregations and worker wellness? What's the role of the layperson regarding worker wellness?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked that because so often when we're thinking about worker wellness, we think about the workers themselves, that they need to be well so they can serve well. I mean, we've heard that for a lot of years, and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has always been concerned about the well-being of the workers. But our lay people are crucial. They are the ones who are making decisions at the local level, the congregation. They're the ones who are the body of Christ, who are there with the workers to care for them. You know, the workers have told us this, that they need local resources for their well-being. And what a better place to find local resources is through the congregation members, the lay members, who can help them understand their community, help them understand how they can use their time well to serve the church. And again, as I brought up, the decision-making that occurs in the governance of the congregation, and as these lay people are making decisions about how they pay their workers, as they adjust their expectations about the amount of time the workers are at church or at school, and spending time with their families. So there's so much that the lay leaders and then the members of the congregation can be doing to impact the health and well-being of their workers. You talk with a lot of lay people, Jim. When you were district president, you were probably meeting with congregations weekly, maybe multiple times a week.
Yeah, I did. You know, on Set Apart to Serve's side, we often talk about how we treat one another as baptized children in Christ. And that includes how we treat our church workers, right? Sometimes I think we feel you know, they've got a tough skin. We can say what we want to them, or we even in some of our media, we talk about how young people are watching their congregation and how they treat their church workers, right? So a young person goes home, and what's mom and dad saying about the pastor during lunchtime? It could be really great. I mean, that's really good. Sometimes it's not so great. So we're encouraging that as young people watch and observe how their church worker is being treated and how he's being understood in his vocation. I mean, this is a sacred and joyful vocation that the pastor, the Lutheran school teacher, the deaconess, all the church workers, they're carrying the word of God to God's people full time. And so, yeah, we talk about just what Tiffany said, you know, that the congregation itself is responsible to care for their church worker, and not as like law or or like they're like the church worker's better, that they should be treated better than anyone else, but just cared for as, you know, I often talk about Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. How do I treat, how do we treat one another, and how do we treat our pastor and teachers and so on as though Christ lives in and through me?
Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad you brought up Galatians, because when we're talking about church worker wellness and our congregations, I think of Galatians 6:2 and how we bear one another's burdens.
Yeah.
And you brought up about, you know, the family at home after church, or, you know, if we think about the family at home in prayer, and you know, it's so simple. We don't often think about it, but it's so easy to remember to be praying for our church workers, our pastors, our teachers, our DCEs, deaconesses, DCOs, parish musicians, mm-hmm. you know, at home in our prayers, that will certainly inform all of the members of the family and encourage them to continue praying throughout their lives for the church workers. But then, too, to tell the church workers, we're praying for you, or ask them, what right. can we be praying for you? What's going on in your lives? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, for the church workers to really trust the people of God there in that place and share yeah. their hearts with them.
So, mm-hmm. Andy, this may be a shameless plug. But Set Apart to Serve CPH curriculum, we've got a curriculum for early childhood all the way up through adult, and the same topics, but all age groups are getting one unit alone as to how do we care for our church workers. Mm-hmm. And we approach that at different angles for different, mm-hmm. you know, levels of age. So, mm-hmm.
yeah.
so, and it's free. And all you have to do is go to CPH, and actually LCEF underwrote it, and the Concordia Universities underwrote that.
Yeah.
So that everyone can have it at no cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is part of the table of duties. Andy pulled up the table of duties right here. Did you want to comment about that, Andy?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what I heard as you were describing this. And this is what the table of duties teaches us, right? What the hearers owe their pastors, right?
Yeah. Yes.
When it comes to God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That just came to mind. Sorry.
No, that's just fine.
Sharing.
Yeah, no, we've all got it pulled up now.
Right. Yeah. In my Set Apart to Serve presentations with the youth, I do pull up a slide about the table of duties.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's right there. Right there. Yeah. So I'm hearing that there's kind of two sides of this. There's the church workers and what they're actually doing for themselves and stewardship, which we'll get to in just a minute. But there's also the side of the congregation, of what the congregation is doing to assist in that, to uplift the workers, to speak well of them. So there's kind of both sides of this that's happening with the workers and with the actual environment that they're in.
Yeah, we describe it as helping them serve well.
Mm-hmm.
There's other scripture passages that demonstrate how the people of God help the workers. One that is in Genesis about Moses, and there's a battle going on, and he's getting weary, and so some of his assistants are holding up his hand so mm-hmm. that Israel can fight well, because he's there's a lot that we can unpack there. But right. you know, we use the phrase holding up the prophet's hand sometimes when we talk about worker wellness mm-hmm. or helping them serve well, because they can't do it on their own strength. They need our Lord to strengthen them, mm-hmm. certainly, and part of how he does that is giving us here at the gathering, we're talking about clouds of witnesses, right?
Right.
It's the people of God who gather around their pastor, their workers, to help encourage and support them.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of clouds of witnesses,
that's about to happen.
The door's about to open any second now. What were you going to say, Dr. Butler?
I was going to say, Sarah had brought up, you know, both sides.
Yeah.
And you brought up district president mm-hmm. as well. And sometimes we have to talk to the church worker as well, right?
Yeah, right.
Of, you know, how are you carrying out your vocation?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And don't give congregation excuse not to like you.
You know,
do your work.
And, that's, you know, not a goal.
Yeah. Preach, teach, care for your people, whoever you're serving.
There's sacrifice involved.
Joyful sacrifice.
There's a joyful sacrifice. We are laying out our lives for the good of the church, and we have to give a lot of energy to do that time. So it's not a 9-to-5, 40-hour kind of vocation.
Right.
Our lives are really focused on the church every day throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
So So there will be sacrifice, and there will be some temptations that Satan does come after our church workers. So we have to acknowledge that too, and we think about how they can be resilient and be undergirded by the Word of God, the sacraments, to strengthen them for this work that's given to them to do.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah. What concerns do we have about the wellness of church workers?
Well, we've got a lot of data, and I'm kind of a numbers nerd, so I like that. And I could give you a lot of numbers, but I won't. But here's the general summary. Our church workers are about as well as the average American.
Oh, well, that's not great.
Actually, yes. I mean, some people say, oh, that's good. I was like, no. Americans are not well. See, no. Sarah's really smart. Americans are not well in their bodies and emotionally. So, yes. So the data will tell us that our workers are not doing so great physically, emotionally, financially, you know, relationally. There's a lot of different ways we could describe it, but they do need to steward their own well-being well. how many times did I say the word well in one sentence? Right. Please drop it a few more times.
You said it really well.
the workers need to steward their own well-being, attend to their needs, not push things off. Oh, I'll get to the doctor next year. Mm-hmm. Oh, I, you know, will start getting active physically and walking and working out next week. Yeah. No, they got to do that today. But then, you know, same thing goes for our lay people. Don't push this off and think, oh, we'll give the staff a raise next year. This year we're going to hold things even when the rate of inflation is increasing. So these are all some decisions that need action.
Tiffany brought up the wellness wheel. We also have a development wheel that almost mirrors the wellness wheel. And that is, how are we as pastors, parents, church workers, laity, forming our children from infant baptism all the way up through, you know, 12th grade? It's very much the same. How do we develop them intellectually? How do we develop them to be good stewards of their bodies and of their minds? And they don't do that by themselves. I mean, their frontal lobe's not even developed yet, right? And so it takes adults, it takes church workers and parents to develop church workers, Christians, one, but if they become church workers, now they've already started to think about that wellness wheel once they become church workers. So
yeah. Mm.
We are talking with Dr. Deaconess Tiffany Maynor. She's Managing Director of LCMS Office of National Mission, and the Reverend Dr. James Bonick, Executive Director of Pastoral Education and Set Apart to Serve at the LCMS Youth Gathering. We'll continue the conversation on wellness right here on the Coffee Hour in just a moment. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
How has God gifted me? Where is God calling me to serve? Concordia University St. Paul helps students explore the answers to these questions. Through a Christ-centered Lutheran higher education, dedicated faculty, and engaging academic programs, CSP is here to walk alongside you in your educational journey. With more than 100 degree programs from undergraduate to graduate offered in person and online, CSP aims to prepare you for success however God calls you. Visit csp.edu to discover and engage your calling today.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We are at the LCMS Youth Gathering in New Orleans, and the convention center is filling up very quickly.
The doors have opened.
The doors have opened. We're talking worker wellness with Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Maynor, Managing Director of LCMS Office of National Mission, and the Reverend Dr. James Bonick, Executive Director of Pastoral Education for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and Set Apart to Serve. And this is a great place to be talking about Set Apart to Serve at the LCMS Youth Gathering. Mm-hmm. We have talked about concerns about worker wellness, concerns about the wellness of church workers, and what, you mentioned some data earlier that when it comes to LCMS church workers in terms of health and wellness, the numbers are pretty similar to just the average American today. You also mentioned earlier that when one is a church worker, it's not a 9-to-5 sort of thing. It's not just a typical 9-to-5 job.
Right.
Right. Does that mean, though, that church workers should expect of themselves, or that we should expect of church workers, that they should always be working to the point of exhaustion?
Yeah. No, you know, it's not
the opposite,
that.
Right?
No, it's the opposite. There's an element that we talk about as stewardship, right? You need to steward your own body, your own holistic well-being. There's multiple facets to that. It's, you know, your emotional well-being. And there's times that you need to rest. There's times that you need to be active and eat well. And we talk about that a lot. Certainly our church workers receive a lot of information from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, our fantastic partner in Concordia Plan Services. They have the health plans and the retirement plans, and they provide a lot of educational materials. This is how we build resilience. Taking care of ourselves is how we're able to prepare to serve not just the church, but in our other vocations in life as church workers, our families, you know, whether it's caring for children, parents, other relatives. Our Lord has given us these neighbors to love and to serve. And so we've got to think about how we are equipped to do that in the real physical sense, but then also, you know, in our minds. And then, two, let's not assume that because they're church workers that their spiritual well-being doesn't need tending to. Mm-hmm. So that's something that can be interesting when we ask the church workers about how often they are in God's Word for their personal devotional life, their personal piety, if you will, versus when it becomes just a focused task to get ready for Sunday. Mm-hmm. And the lines aren't always clear cut, nor should they be. God's Word is performative. It's working on us all the time whenever we're in it and receiving it. But sometimes the workers start to compartmentalize themselves, and then they are losing sight of all of the joy that God can bring to them. Mm-hmm. And you know, we talk about that, you know, when do pastors get to receive the word instead of always being the ones preaching it? So this is where we have circuit winkles that can be really beneficial. Most circuit winkles have a divine service where the pastors can receive the Lord's Supper with their brothers in Christ. So, right. You know, we need to, you know, really be thinking about our spiritual well-being too, of our church workers, and that's where congregations are urged: send your church workers to the district conferences. It's not just they get to go off and go golfing; they get to be in Bible study with the other mm-hmm. church workers. They get to be in the divine service there.
Yeah, I think the 40 hours thing. I mean, that's a balance, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You may have a pastor. I can't imagine who would do this, but you know, they're tracking their hours, and when they hit 40 hours, then they're not going to do anything else. And so, you know, that servant attitude, that joyful sacrifice is, you've got somebody who calls you in the middle of the night, and you go, you know, whether you've hit 40 hours or not, right?
Right.
On the other hand, there is some flexibility in being a pastor in his schedule. He may be able to go to, I'm not saying this should be for everyone. This is really difficult because you want to be prescriptive here. But he may be able to go to his son's ball game at 3 in the afternoon, but then he's got meetings in the night, right? Mm-hmm. It's not that he's tracking, you know, when I hit 40 hours, but he's just got an attitude where I'm going to serve God's people. I'm going to care for my family. I'm going to care for me and mm-hmm. take care of my health as well. And there's just that constant balance and maybe constant struggle as well, spiritually as well. I couldn't agree more with Tiffany, and that pastors being in the Word, being fed at their winkle, father confessor, and that's mm-hmm. not just for a pastor, that's for all of our church workers, to have somebody that they can go to who they can confess their sins. That can be just in a great just conversation. You know, yeah. we sometimes think this has got to be a stilted conversation where I'm laying out all my sins, but it's just a confidant who you can trust mm-hmm. As well. So
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like a mindset, a lifestyle kind of shift, rather than thinking that, you know, I must deplete myself entirely. Otherwise I am not fulfilling some sort of level of vocation like that. That yeah. isn't what you're going for. It's
no, I had one pastor when I was district president, talk to me, and he was bragging that I haven't taken a day off in 21 days.
Oof.
And
oh,
I said,
no.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good.
Yeah. You need to take a day off for yourself, mm-hmm. for your family. He was married. So it's not like we should try to work ourselves to death either.
Right.
And that's kind of the role of the elders and the lay people as well. As pastor, are you taking your time off?
Mm-hmm.
We care about you.
Yeah.
Are you able to get some recreation time? And you mentioned earlier about pastors' conferences, and you weren't saying this, but it's good when our pastors can go golfing together
it
as
is.
Well. Right.
Yeah. Fellowship
I mean,
is good.
Yeah. They're talking to one another, and actually they're working.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
They really are. They're talking about their ministry.
Yeah.
And or maybe it's just downtime where they can just kind of brain dump and mm-hmm. not think about anything else and recreate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, creativity, recreation, that's good for the brain, for the body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of just good things that are happening when you have that balance, when you're able to take time for yourself and not feel guilty about it. I think there's this level of guilt that happens when somebody is like, I'm going to do this for myself in this space rather than doing something else, and I think there can be some guilt that comes along with that when you take time for your own being. But we're talking about this in balance, and balance with the church worker and their time, but also balance between the church worker and the congregation or their experience. How have you seen some examples of this from your own work in organizations, congregations? What are some examples of good stewardship, good balance that you guys have seen?
Yeah, so sometimes we talk about it as the integration, right? So the church workers often have these dual relationships with members of the congregation. So you're not just the kids' teacher, but you're also at church together on Sundays and at the fellowship events together. And so you might be in the homes of your students having a movie night or a game night with them. And so is it, you know, like with the example that Jim was giving with the, you know, they're golfing and they're working, and the same thing can happen in the life of the church throughout the week. I know, are you working if you're with your students' family in the evening? Well, it doesn't feel like work. It feels like life together as the body of Christ. And so, you know, as we integrate it, and as we were talking about the, you're not punching a clock and saying 40 hours, I'm leaving to go home, but sharing joys, sorrows, all of life together with people in a way that is feels natural, doesn't feel as though every conversation has to be about church or church and school or the ministry. It's sometimes hard to articulate. And as we were doing mm-hmm. this research with congregations over the past year, we went to the district presidents and said, tell us which congregations in your district have the most loving, caring, supportive environment around their church workers. Where is it that other people look at this congregation and these workers and say, wow, they're just doing really well. Like everything seems to be in balance. And again, they're integrating their life with the church. The family members of the church workers are respected as individuals and not, say, assigned certain roles or given certain things. You know, not the kind of place where people are saying the jokes like, oh, the pastor only works 1 hour a week, ha, 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 ha. Or the teachers get a sabbatical every year because they're off for 3 months, which is not actually true.
Right. no.
So, you know, not that kind of a culture where people actually are, you know, kind of in a joking way casting judgment. But the opposite, where you can see the workers are loving to serve their congregation, their school, and they're appreciated, they're encouraged by the people of God there. They have a full compensation package between salary, health plans, looking towards the day when they're no longer able to live out their vocations as fully as they are now, otherwise known as retirement. But I don't know if you ever truly retire if you're a Christian, because you're going to continue to be a part of the church if you're a church worker. So, you know, so... that's how we can see it in the places they serve, in the workers themselves. Doesn't mean that you're, you know, without illness. That's not possible. Our
right.
world is broken by sin. But are you taking care of your physical health? And being active, eating well, getting to the doctor, getting to the dentist, those kinds of, mm-hmm. of things. It all plays in because we don't, our well-being is holistic. It's not compartmentalized. We can't say, like, everything is fine at church. Everything is, that means everything's going to be fine at home. Nope. Actually, what happens at home and at church, they interact with one another. And so we have to look holistically at these workers
yeah.
in their lives.
Any examples of, I think what the phrase that you used earlier was personal stewardship, mm-hmm. I think was the phrase that you used. Any examples from life prior to serving at the International Center that of personal stewardship, or how your congregation or your district helped you in terms of caring for your family and living out all these vocations you've been given, not just your role as a pastor or as a district president? Any examples that you want to share?
You know, we live under the gospel, right? And we talk about this balance. That balance is lived under the gospel. We always have forgiveness. We have the freedom to care for one another and to love one another. And I think a congregation that is strongly in the Word, that is gathering for divine service, there is a love and nurture that just grows from that. The congregation I was at in North Dakota was that. I mean, they loved the Word. They wanted to dig into the Word. Mm-hmm. There were times when I screwed up and they came to me and just said, you know, Pastor, we love you. We care for you. And just that constant love and growth. Mm-hmm. And that's how we live together in our congregations. Every single congregation, wherever we're planted, as we are in the Word, that we live under the cross of Christ. I was going to say before when you said examples, that's all over our synod.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know?
Yeah,
it is. I mean, that's the strength of our synod, is that our eyes are fixed on Jesus and Christ crucified. And so, you know, we have times when people aren't cared for or where there's difficult situations, and sometimes we focus on those, and we really do need to pay attention to those, but we also need to celebrate the wonderful synod and where we're caring for one another as lay people and as church workers.
You know, I had a congregation. I'm a pastor's wife, right? So
yeah.
I'm married to a pastor, and I wasn't serving this congregation as their deaconess, but, you know, we move as the pastor's family, and I noticed what Jim was describing, the people so thirsty for the Word of God, and a lot of Bible study involvement, which actually Ambassadors of Reconciliation will tell you, they've got data that congregations are less likely to have conflict if they have more of the members in Bible study. So that helps them with peacemaking. But this particular congregation, studying God's Word faithfully multiple times throughout the week, a lot of people in Bible study. And there was this culture of forgiveness, like repentance, forgiveness, and I hadn't been at my home church and another church beforehand, and we go to this church, and the people were so comfortable, the members of the congregation, going up to one another and saying, I think I just messed this up, please forgive me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the response was, you're forgiven in Christ, of course. And so it was all over, and I said to my husband, I've never seen people so at ease with admitting that they did something wrong and confessing and offering forgiveness to one another. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I know we're running out of time, but, you know, our lay people struggle with the same things. Mm-hmm. I mean, the same balance of family, work,
yeah.
More than 40 hours. And we need to recognize that too, mm-hmm. especially at the congregational level. That's pastoral care, right, mm-hmm. for those
yeah.
people. But as a church body, we are focusing on our workers, and we want to care for them as well and pay attention to that as well.
LCMS.org/wellness.
Very good. And Set Apart to Serve, you can learn more about that by visiting lcms.org/SAS. Our guest today, Reverend Dr. James Bonnick, Executive Director of Pastoral Education for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and Set Apart to Serve. Dr. Bonnick, thank you so much for being our guest.
Great to be here.
And Deaconess Dr. Tiffany Maynard, Managing Director of LCMS Office of National Mission. Thank you so much.
Joy to be with you.
You've been listening to the Coffee Hour at the LCMS Youth Gathering in New Orleans. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.